The epistle appointed for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the 5th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold to you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. The Gospel. Is taken from the sixth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, the 24th to the 33rd verses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will sustain the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, or for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body more than the raiment? Behold the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And for raiment, why are you solicitous? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more you, O ye of little faith? Be not solicitous, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things, do the heathen seek. For your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Seek ye therefore first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is the end of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some of you may wonder why we do not have benediction. It is not primarily because of my schedule, even though on most Sundays I will be obligated to rush away. I do not have benediction because in the 1950s, probably about 1959 or so, a ruling was given by the Holy See that benediction should not follow the Mass because benediction should be had when the Mass cannot be had. to have benediction after Mass is somewhat anticlimactic, because in the Mass you have everything, and benediction is, as I say, something less. At benediction, you sing hymns in honor of the real presence, and you receive as a blessing, I should say, you do receive a blessing from Almighty God Himself. But in the Mass, you have the holy sacrifice, and you are able in the Mass to receive the body and blood of Christ into your souls. And for those reasons, it is, of course, a greater thing. Whenever I can, however, from now on, if I'm going to be able to stay here overnight on a Sunday, we will have benediction in the evening of that day, the rosary and the benediction. And we'll urge you to return for that if you can. Because the school year has begun, and because I know that there are quite a few students here, it seems that a few comments should be made to you who are in school, whether in grade school, high school, or college. And my remarks are not limited to their interest, but I have them mainly in mind. And part of what provokes these thoughts is that everyone knows that a lot of things that they teach in the schools nowadays have been chosen because they will, the material taught, presumably, will assist the individual toward making a living. And many schools, such as the technical schools, have that as their main purpose, to equip you with a skill or some knowledge so that you'll be able to make a living. And we can say the same of postgraduate schools, such as are for doctors and lawyers, etc. But it should be remembered that the primary reason for an education is not in order to make a living. The primary reason for an education is for the learning of truth, the acquisition of truth, and also the gaining of culture. We say this to remind everyone that he should not be going to school mainly with the idea of making money in mind, but he should go and he should choose those subjects which are going to be for the fullness of his life. The second reason I bring this subject up is that one of the most common ideas that I hear pervade is concerning the moral law. People have the idea that what you do not know will not hurt you. And if you do not know that a certain thing is a sin, well, then you are not guilty of it. And I remind all of you, beginning with the youngest, that you have to know what God requires, because He will judge you not in terms of what you know, but what you ought to know. You do not excuse a priest if he does not know the moral law. And you might say, well, the priest has had a special opportunity to learn what his obligation and what other people's moral obligations are. You expect something of him because he is, as it were, a professional. And I remind all of you that every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we are going to be judged on what we have done with our lives. And it will not do if we try, if we imagine that we will be able to try to say to Christ when he calls up from our past our sins, if we say, well, I did not know. Nobody told me. Because our Lord's answer, if he bothers to give it at all, is simply, this is why you were given brains, my dear child. This is what your intelligence was for. You had nothing better to do than to find out what my law is, what my truth is, what I require of you. If you were able to make a living on earth, that proves that you had enough sense to know what I wanted. And in today's gospel, you will observe that our Lord puts the very essential things of life, of human life, of life on earth, second to what he refers to as his justice, which means fulfilling his law. My constant argument nowadays is concerning those in the conciliar churches. And I say simply that those who continue in those churches are going to lose their souls. And people say, well, they have no idea. And I answer, it is their business to know. The very fact that we are here is a constant reminder to them that there is an argument. And that's why we need to be here. That's why God has blessed us for their sakes. But because we're here, we have responsibilities, first of all, to ourselves, to everyone who might ask us, and you young people who are constantly mixing with non-Catholics, you have obligations to know the truth. You have to know why you are what you are, why you're different, and why it is such a tremendous responsibility. So this is what, to be simple about it, this is what you have to know. You have to know what your Catholic faith is. This involves, first of all, your doctrine, what you're supposed to believe. And I remind you that the things that our Holy Church requires, teaches, and requires us to believe are not subject to discussion. It is not a matter of whether it is understandable or we wish to believe it. We do not have this choice because Christ is the truth. And he said, he who believes will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Secondly, you have to know what God's law is, what the Ten Commandments obligate you to do, no matter what your life is, whether you're married or single, whether you are old or young, rich or poor, no matter what anyone else does, the law binds you, and you have to know it. And I remind you that you cannot say, if a man doesn't know, then he's not going to be held accountable. And I say, that's wrong. He's supposed to know. That's what he's here to learn. And you have to know also why we do what we do here, why we are so insistent on this Mass, and why we say that the other is wrong, impermissible, not for just ourselves, but for everyone. You have to know that. Now, we do not expect grade schoolers to be able to dilate on the subject, but we expect everyone to be able to give an intelligent answer as is proper with his state of life. And if you need the instruction, the material is available, and anytime you want to talk to me about it, I'm only too happy to oblige. And if you, as a group, want me to lay it out for you, we'll arrange an opportunity if it means a special trip. But you need to know it, and that goes for all the other things that we protest as revolutionary from the Second Vatican Council on. It does not do for us to walk around as if we're mad all the time, but not to have answers, to find fault with what they do, but not know why we do that which is correct. We have to be militant, and we have to be intelligent, and we have to be ready. Our answers have to be real and on our fingertips, or if you will, on the tip of our tongues. Also, and this may pertain more to college students, you have to understand, my dear young women and men, that you live in a mad world. And it's mad not only because men have rejected divine truth, but also because there is a conspiracy to deceive. And those are two points, and you should know the difference. Men are inclined to error, but we live in a world where there is a conglomeration of powers and forces making sure that you do not know the truth, but rather that you believe that which is ridiculous. It's not only wrong, but it is absurd what they want you to believe. They have to lead you into total silliness in order to get your money out of you for the most ridiculous pretext, in order to make you subject to their power. And because also, if you persist in an error, it will make an utter fool of you. If you resist truth, you will end up being utterly absurd in all that you think and do. And that's what they want of you. And when I say they, I'm talking about a band of men conspiring to do it, so that truth has little chance. Just for an example, you have to know what communism is. You're not free not to know. You have an obligation, especially you who have been given the opportunity for higher learning. No, most college professors are not going to be able to give you an intelligent answer to this subject. A great number of them are sympathetic with communism. So stupid are they. Or perhaps so malicious are they. You have to know what socialism is. Socialism is the present governmental system of this country, and it is being sprayed on us from every quarter. I remark, for instance, you hear on radio and you observe on television what they refer to as public service messages. And you'll observe that when they finish the message, they say, "This message was brought to you by this station and maybe another concern." And they will finish by saying, "And the Ad Council." You ought to know that the Ad Council is an agency of the CFR, whose business it is to socialize this country. They're the ones that have gotten a law through the Congress, and it is administered by the FCC, I guess, or the, what is it, the Federal Communications Commission, that requires all these stations to air these messages. And these messages are socialistic in their purpose, humanitarian and humanistic in their content. and therefore anti-religious. That's the kind of thing that's going on all the time, and very few people think of it or even observe it. But you're paying for it. Whenever you pay for any advertisements on television or radio or in the products that advertise such, you have to know what the American Constitution is supposed to be and what it is and how it is good for us and how it is not good for us. As Catholics, we are not totally sold on the Constitution. It is not what we wish, but it is better than what we've got. You have to know what utopianism is, for an example. If you haven't heard this term, I can assure you it's being promoted. This is the idea that we are on the verge of a great age, that the time is just around the corner when all men's problems will be solved and there will be equality and justice and peace. Now, that's a lot of baloney. That's a deliberate lie. We are on the verge of world enslavement. And world enslavement for us means utopia for them. You have to know the Jewish problem. Intelligent people have to know what the Jews are about, how they're involved in the conspiracy, that they are conspirators as a group of people. You have to know this. You should know what evolutionism is and what a hoax it is. You might say, well, this is a bit much. The reason you have to know this is because you're either going to know what's wrong with it or you're going to accept it. Because it's being pummeled into your brain constantly. It's in the entertainment. It's being promoted. And it's being promoted through the stories you hear and read constantly. I could go on this subject, but there is a conclusory idea that I must not fail to mention. And this is very important. I said you are responsible. You are going to be judged. There are those that do not believe there is going to be this judgment. And my dear young people, there are those who hope very much that you will not believe that you're going to be held to account for every word you utter, every most secret thought. And it can be that you really do not care, that you're not afraid, that you'll take your chances. You're going to live your life, and no one's going to tell you how to live it. No one's going to scare you into believing that you will be held to account. Well, that also is part of the spirit of this day, because they tell us that we're not supposed to fear God, only to love Him. But I tell you, you cannot love Him as He is unless you do fear Him. And you had better fear Him, because He is a terrible Lord. He wants your loving service, and He is love itself. But He is also God, and God will be served. And you will not slight Him or spurn Him or ignore Him or treat Him as someone negligible. He is worthy of your service. And He will reward you if you do what He says. But His punishment is horrid and to be feared. And it is never distant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.